This is Liliana.
I'm Danaya.
And I'm Badila.
And we're from Perfect 10 After School,
a wonderful club for girls in Hudson, New York.
And you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA.
Community radio for Columbia and Greene counties.
Perfect 10 girls got it going on.
Oh, yeah.
New WGXC programmer Matthew O'Neill has a record release show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on September 3rd at 8 p.m. His new album is called Connection. On the bill of the record release show is Morgan O'Kane opening and Otto Hauser playing DJ during the show. Again, that's Saturday, September 3rd at 8 to 11 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And there'll also be a live WGXC.org web stream and a broadcast on 90.7 FM. So turn out or tune in for the Matthew O'Neill record release show, Saturday, September 3rd at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Columbia Greene Media reports that the 181st Columbia County Fair begins at noon August 31st and runs through September 5th. All the attractions are back this year, including the Midway, hundreds of exhibits and food vendors, entertainment at multiple fair locations, and lots of farm animals. The entertainment at the main grandstand includes two nights of the Demolition Derby on September 1st and 2nd, and the Monster Tractor Pull on September 3rd. September 4th, the association takes the stage in the afternoon, and former lead vocalist for Journey, Steve Auguri, performs in the early evening. The Northgate stage also provides entertainment through the fair's six-day run, including Columbia County's Got Talent with local performers. Other fair attractions for all ages include the Racing Pigs, Petting Zoo, and Circus Incredible. The first Columbia County Fair was held in the city of Hudson on October 12, 1841, a year after the Columbia County Agricultural Society was formed. In 1852, officials announced the fair would be held for the first time in Chatham, which later became known as the Columbia County Fairgrounds, when 15 acres were purchased from a man identified only as Mr. Bullis for $175 per acre in 1856. The fair's main exhibit building, which became known as the Fair House, was built in 1884 for a cost of $1,676. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Lana Bellamy reports in the Times Union that a second wildfire is now burning in the Minnewaska State Preserve Park. Over the weekend, a lightning strike sparked the Napanach Point Fire on the Shawangunk Ridge. Now the Stony Kill Fire is also burning in the Minnewaska State Preserve Park. Officials are adding 60 more firefighters to the almost 100 already fighting the first fire and have doubled to four helicopters for water drop. All access points to Minnewaska State Park have been closed until further notice. The State Department of Environmental Conservation, State Office of Parks, Recreation and Historic Preservation, and Ulster County Department of Emergency Services officials are holding a community meeting about the fire at 7 p.m. on August 30th in the auditorium of Ellenville Junior Senior High School, and residents can call the Ulster County Community Service Center with questions at 845-433-8888. Officials from the DEC said August 29th that the fire had burned at least 30 acres and was 15% contained. Currently, there are 8 wildfires across New York State, and the DEC's fire danger map lists the Hudson Valley and Catskills as a high risk of fire. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Ina D. Lampert Alvarez reports in the Berkshire Eagle that Joshua Lang, Lanesboro, Massachusetts town administrator, has decided to resign after less than a year on the job. Quote, God comes first and guides my marriage and how I raise my family, unquote, he said. Quote, then family is very important to me, and it is difficult being away from your loved ones. The decision I made was primarily due to the fact of wanting to be close to my wife, unquote, he said. Lang married Michaela Zonfrili last month. Zonfrili worked part of this year as an administrative assistant for Lanesboro, but now lives in Pennsylvania, where she serves as a York County administrator. Her hiring during a closed-door session of the Lanesboro Select Board was controversial, leading officials to later admit they made a mistake interviewing her during an executive session. Zonfrili was Lang's fiancée at the time she was hired. Lang, who was sworn in on December 15, 2021, has agreed to remain on the job until September 12th and work mostly from Pennsylvania until the town can find a successor. Lang said he will work remotely, come to Lanesboro 1 week per month. Lang indicated he will remain on until the select board hires a new administrator and said he is hoping to continue working in the public sector. Quote, my passion is public service. That's my pathway in life, whether that's government or local government, unquote, he said. When he was hired, Lang was given a 3-year contract at an annual salary of $80,000. More about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Now that New York's congressional elections are all set, the political prognosticators have released their predictions for the November vote, and they are mostly in agreement. The Cook Political Report, Inside Elections, and Larry Sabato's Crystal Ball all predict that the New York 19 race between Democrat Josh Riley and Republican Mark Molinaro is a toss-up. They have the New York 18th election between Republican Colin Schmidt and Democrat Pat Ryan, either as lean Democrat or tilt Democrat. And the Cook Political Report rates the New York 20 contest between Democrat Paul Tonko and Republican Liz Joy as solid Democrat. And the New York 21 election between Republican Elise Stefanik and Democrat Max Castelli is solid Republican. The 538.com website is the only outlier. They rate New York 18 a toss-up between Ryan and Schmidt and say the New York 19 election between Molinaro and Riley leans Republican. But 538.com agrees that the New York 20 race is solid Democrat and the New York 21 election is solid Republican.
Nick Reisman reports for Spectrum News that New York State is designating millions of dollars to provide transportation for people to addiction treatment services in underserved areas, Governor Kathy Hochul's office said on August 30th. In New York City, the fund will create prevention coalitions to aid vulnerable and isolated people, Hochul said. The transportation funding will target areas of upstate New York, including western New York and the Finger Lakes, to increase transportation options, Hochul said. With this funding will help better engage vulnerable communities in New York City while providing transportation to individuals who would otherwise be unable to access treatment in western New York and the Finger Lakes, supporting our nation's leading addiction treatment services, unquote. The state is spending $2.3 million to boost addiction treatment efforts amid a sharp rise in overdose deaths statewide, coinciding with the COVID-19 pandemic. State health officials this week warned of a rise in overdoses in parts of central New York, including Oneida County. Earlier this summer, state health officials required pharmacies to carry naloxone, a drug used to counter the effects of an overdose. More about this story at SpectrumLocalNews.com.
Melanie Lekosabic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that Greenville school officials are working to put a $13.6 million renovation project before voters in December. The proposal includes the addition of an art suite, art classroom renovation, roof restoration, improved ventilation, asbestos abatement, and exterior masonry renovations for the Greenville Middle High School. The Scott M. Ellis Elementary School would get renovations to classrooms in the front wing of the building, new heating system boilers, roof restoration, ventilation upgrades, plumbing upgrades, and restoration of exterior masonry. Matthew Schools of CEI Design Group said, and I quote, "One of the bigger things we're looking to do is put an addition on the building to create a dedicated middle school and a dedicated high school art room. Right now, they are in one space that really could be the space that one single art room should take up. So, essentially, they are two small art rooms. We want to add a little to the building and re-equalize the art rooms so that they are essentially equal but larger collectively," end quote. The project would cost $13,655,000, with $11,278,233 going to renovations to the elementary school and $2,386,767 for the middle high school. Officials say 95% of the project will be eligible for state aid and that school taxes will not rise. While there will be a large election turnout for the midterm congressional election in November, a Greenville-only school election in December should have a low voter turnout. Read the full story at theupstater.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 57. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 76 degrees. And Thursday night will be clear with a temperature low of around 52 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Wednesday, August 31st, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 11 a.m. We hear the quarterly show Talk Radio from Kurt Gottschalk. It utilizes talking to make radio. Words as sound, sound as communication is the theme of the show. And at noon, it's time for the Bedazzled Radio Hour from Spike Priggen in Catskill. Then at 3 p.m., the Radio Survivor Show talks about the radio. 4 p.m., the WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Acre. At 7 p.m., the Off the Hook Show is live from New York City. Simulcast from WBAI. It's from the Hacker Quarterly 2600, and it's all about technology. And at 8 p.m., Rock and Roll High School is live from Hudson. WGXC's Hudson Studio in the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street with Peter McPartland and Anya Kaniskaya. Tune in on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out or tune in to two of the world's greatest percussionists performing in Catskill at the Avalon Lounge on October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Composers and percussionists Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt perform with a live web stream at WGXC.org. Turn out or tune in for Tatsuya Nakatani and Bobby Previtt performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Sunday, October 16th from 8 to 10 p.m. Find out more in the WGXC Community Calendar online at wgxc.org.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Waveform Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. 72.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, August 31st. Local early morning temperatures range from 60 degrees in Jewett to 66 in Kingston. Regional average soil temperature is 71 degrees. Please bear with me and the lackluster weather report today. The National Weather Service's API seems to be glitchy, probably just upgrades. Today is looking nice. Things dry out and we see a high of 77 degrees. Overnight, it dips to 57, and the air will still feel pretty sticky. Tomorrow, we will see a high of 74. It will be sunny. Then, 50 degrees overnight takes us into a sunny-looking Friday with a high of 80. Saturday is looking partly cloudy with a high of 85, and Sunday will be sunny with a high of 78. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:25 a.m., high tide at 5:49 a.m., low tide again at 12:40 p.m., then high tide once again at 6:29 p.m. Today's current strength will be high. Today's river temperature will be 79 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:19 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see the sun is still bubbling and boiling away, but currently is pointing its ejecta away from us, giving us a bit of a break. Next incoming plasma stream is due to arrive early next week. Solar wind speed is currently 537 kilometers per second at 7.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible. Thanks for asking. Same for overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 50. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Randall and Bernadette Martin of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
At last, a do-it-yourself fallout shelter from
Survival.
A shelter that will adequately protect you and your family from the devastating effects of
nuclear fallout and falling debris.
A Survive All shelter is engineered and designed for simple assembly, takes just a weekend's time, and is civil defense approved.
Survive All basement type shelters are FHA approved. No money down, up to 5 years to pay.
Learn how easy it is to assemble a Survive All do-it-yourself fallout shelter today.
The time is now. Protect your family against atomic attack and deadly nuclear fallout. See a Survive All shelter today.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
I'm determined to ban assault weapons in this country. Determined.
In Pennsylvania Tuesday, President Joe Biden promoted his plan to reduce gun crime, renewing his push for a federal assault weapons ban. Biden noted he has two shotguns at home, arguing he is not opposed to the Second Amendment.
As one of the most conservative justices in history, Justice Scalia, once wrote, quote, like most rights, the rights granted by the Second Amendment are not unlimited. They're not unlimited.
The president also outlined a $37 billion budget request to boost law enforcement and crime prevention, training 100,000 new police officers over the next 5 years. Tomorrow, Biden will deliver a primetime speech in front of Independence Hall, where he'll talk about, quote, the continued battle for the soul of the nation, unquote. Just ahead of the 2022 midterms, the Justice Department unveiled new restrictions preventing non-career political appointees from attending partisan political events. The announcement comes as many Republicans accuse the department of political bias after the FBI executed a search warrant at former President Donald Trump's home. Democrats continue to hammer GOP candidates on abortion in the wake of the Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says the midterms are a referendum on reproductive rights.
They've unleashed a tsunami of determined women voters and their allies who will lift up pro-choice candidates and take down the ultra-conservative fundamentalists this November. So to those anti-choice politicians, know that we are coming for you. You will lose in November.
Some Republicans are quietly de-emphasizing their past abortion positions on campaign websites and on the trail. Others release TV ads specifying they are pro-life but won't support a federal ban on abortion or oppose abortion only after 15 weeks. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis weighed in Tuesday on the plan to hire new IRS agents as part of the recently passed Inflation Reduction Act.
So I thought it was really, really reprehensible that they'd be mobilizing 87,000 IRS agents. And I think every member of Congress that voted for that bill should be required to be audited every year by the IRS.
About 50% in a recent poll said they believe the IRS will audit the middle class, low-income earners, and small businesses, or go after political opponents of those in power. Former Russian leader Mikhail Gorbachev died Tuesday at age 91. He's credited with creating a more democratic society in his country and made a historic agreement with former President Reagan in 1987 to denuclearize immediate-range nuclear missiles. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, Republican Senator Rob Portman and Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar met with President Volodymyr Zelensky Tuesday. The pair reaffirmed the U.S. commitment to Ukraine, NATO, and other allies in the area, and America's ongoing economic, humanitarian, and military assistance. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're in Texas today, where earlier this month, the entire staff of a Texas county elections office resigned, citing post-2020 election threats and cyberstalking, misinformation, understaffing, and low pay. The Fredericksburg Standard, Radio Post, and Vote Beat Texas reported that the staff of the Gillespie County Elections Office had been dealing with fringe conspiracy theories even before President Donald Trump's accusations of widespread voter fraud. Trump won the county with 79% of the vote. The Post quotes longtime elections clerk and administrator Anissa Herrera as saying, "After the 2020 election, I was threatened, I've been stalked, I've been called out on social media, and it's just dangerous misinformation. The year 2020 was when I got death threats," said Herrera. Her co-workers have also left, leaving it to the state to train new staff prior to the start of October 24th early voting. There may be other county employees who will step in, some of whom have prior election experience, but the state will need to give them a crash course in the 300 new election rules passed by the Texas legislature since 2020. Sam Taylor, Texas Assistant Secretary of State for Communications, said, "Unfortunately, threats like these drive away the very officials our state needs now more than ever to help instill confidence in our election system." Links to articles and groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
We'll be right back.
2022 new music there from Chris Forsythe from Philadelphia. The song is called Bad Moon Risen.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This summer, a report came out about the success of the Excluded Workers Fund in New York. The Excluded Workers Fund established emergency unemployment compensation funds for workers, including undocumented immigrants, who are excluded from unemployment insurance. To help us understand the impact of these funds, we're now joined by Iridian Lucas Garcia, the Excluded Workers Fund Implementation Coordinator at Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, and Sara Reyes, a receiver of those funds. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Hi, Sina. Thank you for having us.
Hola.
So, Iridian, if you could start us off by giving us some background on what is the Excluded Workers Fund and what was the struggle to make it available in New York State?
The Excluded Worker Fund was a historic $2.1 billion fund that passed in 2021 in the New York State Legislature to provide financial relief for New Yorkers who suffered income loss during the pandemic and were left out of various federal relief programs like pandemic unemployment assistance and unemployment insurance in the state. And the FEW Coalition, the Fund Excluded Workers Coalition, excluded workers and allies around the state rallied for months and months before it passed to help excluded workers in the state. And so we, you know, set up meetings with elected officials. We shut down bridges, and we even held a hunger strike for several weeks in order to make Excluded Worker Fund a reality here. And so the fight was not easy, but we won.
So once those funds were finally available, included in the budget, it was still very difficult for the people, the right people, to get access to these funds. So, Sara Reyes, what was the process for you to apply for the funds? And did you know about it as soon as they were available?
Yo me enteré por parte del Movimiento Santuario, por Diana, pues no la conocía ella tampoco, pero en ese tiempo yo estaba pasando un proceso de unos tickets que le había puesto el policía a mi esposo, y alguien me dijo, yo andaba pidiendo ayuda o alguien que me pudiera orientar porque yo nunca había tenido ticket, y me dijeron, ¿sabe qué? Llame este número al Movimiento Santuario. Entonces yo dejé el mensaje porque no me contestaron.
Okay. Sara says, I found out through Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, through Diana, who is the program and services director here at CCSM. And originally, Sara's husband had received a traffic ticket, and so someone told Sara to call Columbia County Sanctuary Movement and that they will help them. And so Sara left a message on her voicemail. Okay, puede continuar, Sara.
Entonces, luego pues me puse en contacto con Diana. Diana me regresó la llamada, pues me ayudaron. Luego yo le pregunté a Diana, le digo yo, ¿usted qué sabe tan cierto lo que están diciendo del presupuesto que va a haber para la gente indocumentada? Le dije yo, aunque yo lo dudaba mucho. Y entonces me dijo Diana, sí, pero va a ser esto, parece que me dijo a finales de agosto, pero usted puede ir recogiendo, me dijo, los papeles, van a pedir esto, van a pedir, me dijo, el ITIN, pasaporte, factura o bill de la casa. Entonces yo empecé a recoger, a juntar mis billes, los taxes, como yo desde que vine a este país, yo empecé a pagar mis impuestos con el ITIN. Y cuando oí la noticia, pues yo le llamé a Diana. Diana dice en qué tal fecha es la que van a aplicar, y me dijo Diana sí, y fui de las primeras.
Once Diana helped my husband figure out his ticket situation, I asked Diana if it's true about what I've been hearing about this excluded worker fund that would be available and open to undocumented residents in the state of New York. And Diana said, yes, it is true. And Sara stated, although I, really doubted that, it was really true. So I asked Diana, and Diana said, yes, it is true. You can start gathering these documents in order to apply once it is open. And so I started gathering my ITIN, my passport information, my tax documents, copies of my utility bills. And so I started collecting those documents for once the application opened. And once the application opened, I became the first person that CCSM helped apply for the Excluded Worker Fund. ¿Algo más que añadir, Sara?
Entonces, cuando ya la abrieron, que fue el primer día, yo me fui allá donde estaban diciendo que estaba haciendo la línea, que iban a empezar a inscribir la gente, las personas, y fui de las primeras, y pues, gracias a Dios, no me costó porque yo había empezado desde con tiempo a recoger mis documentos.
And so, once the application opened, I went with CCSM, and they helped me apply for the Excluded Worker Fund. And thankfully, because I had all of my documents all set, it did not take long for me to apply.
So, Sara, once you actually got the funds, how important were these for financing your life? What was it useful for?
Bueno, la importancia para mí fue que yo estaba pasando por un proceso que debía tres meses de renta, a pesar que eran seis, pero yo ya había andado, me había conseguido un trabajo extra para estar abonando a lo que íbamos a los meses hasta que termináramos de pagar. Y para mí, pues, cuando me dijeron que había sido aprobada, que esperara la tarjeta en 7 días, 8 días hábiles, yo dije gracias, Señor, porque yo por lo menos se acordaron de nosotros. Aunque cuando yo presenté mi documento, hubieron gente que me dijeron que eso era de gusto, que no teníamos nosotros los indocumentados derecho, pero a mí me sirvió de mucho porque yo pagué lo que debía, y incluso pues no me lo he gastado, lo tengo guardadito porque quiero ver si me puedo, estoy en trámite, si puedo agarrarme una a mi casa.
So she said, the importance for me was that I had 3 months of back rent due, and once I got approved, it helped me clear out much of that debt that I had accumulated because of the pandemic and because of work. And thanks to God, I was just very happy that I got approved. And until this very day, I actually still have some of that money saved, which I'm hoping to eventually buy a house with.
How many people were able to access these funds? How common is Sara's story? And what is the flip side?
Yeah, so around the state of New York, more than 128,000 people were able to apply for the Excluded Worker Fund and access its funds, 99% of which received Tier 1 benefits, which were the $15,600 amount minus taxes. And Sada's story was one of those 128,000 folks that were able to apply. However, when it comes to folks who applied outside of the city, we can see that the numbers of applicants are disproportionately much lower, and community members who live in more rural areas of the state face several challenges when it came to applying for the Excluded Worker Fund generally, and it has been especially true for those that my organization, Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, serves, due to the region in which we operate, which is very rural. And so Sara, you know, fortunately was able to access these funds, but given the region in which we operate, it was just one of a few stories that, you know, successfully got funds and their application in on time. It was able to access those funds, but because of many barriers, it was very difficult for other community members in this region to apply for the Excluded Worker Fund and access its benefits.
Thank you, Sara, for sharing your experience with us. Is there something else that you think is really important to understand about the importance of having access to these funds?
Pues para mí sí, importancia, para mí importancia, porque habemos, bueno, aquí en el sector hay mucha gente que pues indocumentada, que no teníamos beneficio del gobierno, no teníamos derecho a un desempleo, no tuvimos derecho al dinero que daban a los ciudadanos, ni a nuestros niños que eran ciudadanos, cuando estaba el otro presidente tampoco no les dio a los niños de padre, los niños eran ciudadanos, pero los padres no tenían un social, tampoco fueron beneficiados de ese dinero que dieron. Y pues también para mí, si lo volvieran a hacer, que se va a pelear por hacerlo por aquellos, porque hay mucha gente que yo conozco que todavía están endeudados, pero son las personas que trabajan en el campo, que sus mismos jefes se negaron a darles una carta para que ellos pudieran llenar las aplicaciones. Por eso la mayoría de gente de aquí donde yo vivo, todos los que trabajan en el campo, se quedaron sin ese beneficio.
So she said, well, for me it's important, and it's especially important for undocumented folks in our community. There are several people I know that are still in debt, especially those who work in farms, and due to their employers not treating them well, they really have a hard time getting by. And undocumented folks in the state you know, have contributed to the state's economy, and but we don't get any unemployment insurance or any sort of assistance. Even if some of our children are U.S. citizens, they still make it really hard to access benefits that they should at least have access to.
Gracias, Sara. And before we let you go, Iridian, there is something that you're working on the horizon to hopefully keep legislation out there to continue this positive impact. Very briefly, and we'll have you return to have a longer conversation about this. What is the Excluded No More bill?
The Excluded No More bill is a bill that the Fund Excluded Workers Coalition created and has been proposing to the New York State Legislature, which would create a permanent alternative program to unemployment insurance in the state for excluded workers. And this program would help excluded workers in the state have some form of financial support when the next crisis hits, whether it be a national crisis, whether it be a personal crisis in one's own family or in one's own community. We recognize that there is a need for a permanent solution, and we had a temporary fix with the Excluded Worker Fund, but now we're fighting for something more permanent. And so we really hope that the legislature can support our bill in the coming session.
Well, thank you to both of you for joining us on Hudson Mohawk Magazine and for talking about the Excluded Workers Fund. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Thank you.
Next on WGXC, we've got new music from the Brooklyn-based band Oneida. Their 2022 album is called Success, and the first track on it is called Beat Me to the Punch.